Well, today is the first Sunday in Advent, as I told you. It's when we Christians start a journey preparing our hearts for the miracle of Christmas. Just simply put, it's a journeying time. That's the birth of Jesus, of course. It's when the Savior came, when God became flesh. And this year, we're using a book written by Mike Slaughter, United Methodist pastor, Christmas is Not Your Birthday. Interesting title, but I think it's an appropriate title because if you have a birthday that falls on or real close to a holiday, it can be confusing. My daughter Molly was born December 31st, so, you know, is it New Year's or is it her birthday? It's close to Christmas. That's always been a challenge, and it is for anybody who has a birthday. I read about two little girls had a birthday fell on a holiday. They were sisters. One was born July 3rd, the other July 4th. Now, they were several years apart, but they were both born right there. As kids, they always thought all those fireworks was for their birthday. In fact, their friends, who were not particularly kind, would say, man, you know, your parents spared no expense. Look at all these parades all over the nation. All these fireworks just for you. It wasn't until they were older that they figured out that their friends were just kind of, you know, punking them a little bit and making jokes out of it. But having a birthday on a near holiday, as I said, can be confusing. But I think Christmas can be confusing to many. In fact, I know it is. The meaning of Christmas, unfortunately, is lost on so many people. In fact, it would be easy to think that that day is made for us. Would you get me? Yeah, I want to open my presents. It would be easy to lean that way. But let's remember that it celebrates the birth of the Savior. One of the teachers in Sunday school was talking about Christmas, and one little girl raised her hand. She said, you know, I think it's so cool that Jesus' birthday falls on Christmas. There's part of that confusion, and it's easy to do that. So let's be clear. Christmas is not your day. It's not my day. No matter how many gifts we get, though we have this tendency to lose sight of the reason for Christmas, there is this constant push encouraging us to go that way. There's this commercial, extravagant tendency. And Christmas, for some people, that's all they experience. Now, maybe that's a problem for you. Maybe you're drifting away from Christmas, and I would say the core meaning, the real meaning of it. So I think it's important that we take a close look at that. So I have a quiz for you. It's easy. There's not going to be a grade. Nobody can look on your paper and copy your answers. In fact, you just answer it in your heart. You don't have to raise your hand. Your spouse or your kids are not going to check your answers. But I do have a caveat for you. These three questions, you have to answer honestly. Okay? I know the tendency, you'll say, okay, what's the right answer? What does God expect me to say? What would the pastor want me to say? Just answer honestly. Don't try to sugarcoat it. Question number one. What do you enjoy singing more at Christmas? Hark the Herald Angels Sing or Santa Claus is Coming to Town? Or you could change that, White Christmas or Jingle Bells. Pick one. But which one is it? Question number two. What do you look forward to the most? Christmas Eve worship or opening Christmas presents? Okay. Question number three. Remember, there's only three. And remember, you have to be honest. You don't have to tell anybody else. Where do you spend the most money at Christmas? On Christmas gifts or on helping others? Now, I don't know how you answered those questions, but here's what I do know. I know that there's an intentional, concerted, massive effort to get you to answer those questions in a certain way. All those ads, the promotionals, the Black Friday deals, the Cyber Monday deals, they don't have the end goal of helping you see Christmas as a time that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. God's love of the world is not the focus of the retailer or the advertiser. Actually, I know what the focus is. It's your wallet. Right? Every year there's this elaborate effort put into encouraging you to swipe your card again and again and again until that chip is worn out. You got to get a new one. And apparently it's working. So in 2015, 6 years ago, the average American incurred $986 in Christmas debt. Just Christmas. Okay? $986. Look what happened by the time we got to 2021. It went to $1,381. That's an average of $395 more in debt per year per person. That's a lot of debt. Trillions of dollars worth of debt. Here's the way it works, though. If you're using your credit card, and let's say you got one of those that you didn't really pay attention to the annual percentage rate, but it's 20%. Now, I know you can get better rates, but not everybody shops around or even qualifies for a lower rate. So let's just pick somebody, an average American, who has a credit card that has 20% annual percentage rate. And they decide that, you know, I've got bills to pay. I can't pay all this off, even though I incurred $1,381 worth of debt at Christmas. I'm going to pay the minimum because they say you must pay at least roughly 4%. If you pay 4% on that debt of $1,381 at 20% annual percentage rate, it will take you 87 months to pay it off, which means you're going to keep incurring more debt before you get it paid off. Just that 1 year where you incurred all that debt, you're going to pay $832 more in interest over and above the original $1,381. What's going on? And we keep doing it again and again and again. So apparently, there is a shift, a pull, to not focus on Jesus, but to focus on, you got to give stuff, you got to get stuff. And maybe what I need to say is we need to stop right now and ask you this question. Maybe we'd call this question more. Number four, who's getting top billing in your Christmas celebrations? Is it Santa Claus or is it Jesus? Who's coming first? And if you follow the money, it leads to Santa Claus. That's pretty easy to see. But what if this year we let the Holy Spirit lead us? What would that look like? Which is one of the reasons I love Isaiah. Because there we get some insight. Let me read to you portions of Isaiah 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nations. You have increased their joy. They rejoice before you as joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For unto us, this is personal, unto us is born a child. A child has been born to us. A son has been given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of his increase, the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So Isaiah is speaking of a miracle, a child who brings peace and justice to the world. You can look at that in the context of the time that it was written, and it had a certain meaning for the people of Israel who had suffered in exile for so many years. But it continues to unfold as we see the coming of God. And we know that Jesus Christ is one of those expressions that brings us hope. See, Santa Claus brings toys, right? Jesus brings the miracle of salvation, the joy of forgiveness, the hope of God's kingdom. But what we do sometimes is we begin to morph those two together. We create this magical Santa Claus deity that comes just to grant our wishes. If I circle the catalog hard and long enough, if I write that email to Santa Claus enough, if I tell my parents I've got to have that, I've got to have it, it has to happen. We tend to confuse magic and miracle. Rather than experiencing the miracle that God came to earth in such a humble form, we pursue the material. When the greatest gift is right before us, because it was Jesus who brought the miracle of God's love. After unwrapping his presents, one little boy was asked, "Did you get everything you wanted for Christmas?" That's a pretty normal question. But he thought for a moment before he answered, and he said, "No." But then he said, "It's not my birthday." That's really a healthy perspective. Christmas is not your birthday. It's not about getting everything I want. It's about what God has given to us. And when we confuse the two, we end up being dissatisfied. We end up being discontent. And we miss the greatest gift of all. Christmas is not about material extravagance. It's about a time when we should expect a miracle. Isaiah pointed to it, and then Jesus came as a child who would save the world from sin. He would show us the way, the truth, and the life. Christmas is God's declaration of hope, which drives away darkness, we are told. And at Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, and his birth means a new start. And over the years as a pastor, I've had many, many persons come and share with me about their struggles. Sometimes it's an addiction. Sometimes it's a problem with a relationship. Sometimes it's the way they see themselves. Or just the heartaches that have happened to them in life. But one of the things I want to point to is that we have a faith that talks about new starts. And sometimes you can see that just in what God did with the miracle of giving us Jesus. A baby. What a radically different approach. If you think about a newborn baby, it's all about tomorrow's, not yesterday's. And you will never find that in Santa Claus. But when you consider the miracle in the birth of Jesus, you begin to see that it's this God who takes away the sins of the world. My sin, your sin, every stain, every blemish shall be white as snow, forgiven and forgotten. I've said this to you many times before, but I must say it again. There is far too much darkness in our world. Too much pain, too much hurt, too much division, too much anger. So don't lose sight of this miracle. Rather, expect it. Live with that belief, that hope, that faith that God is in charge. God is with us. God can bring about change, foundational change. Let God drive the darkness out of this world, out of your life. And instead give you light. If you remember nothing else from today, I want you to remember this. You are loved by God. And Jesus, he's the miracle that came to show us that love. Let's pray. We forget what it's really about, this time of year, this day that's been set aside as a reminder that you loved the world so much that you became one of us. You came to show us what love looks like. Or as the hymn says, love came down at Christmas. Thank you, God, for that gift. It won't be found under a tree. Amazon doesn't carry it. I can't even make it with my hands. It's your gift that you gave to each of us, any one of us who would receive. So help us to be wise at this time, to receive in our hearts once again the love of Jesus Christ. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. Oh, Ron, you're finished. Great timing, man. You know, I didn't see all this when he started. I think I got the star right. That was the only thing that I came close to. And What I was thinking about while he's in this is so much like how people experience God sometimes. They think they see one thing, but God is doing something even better. What I thought turned into this magnificent nativity. And the focus is right in the center here. It's Jesus. His love. Not the commercial aspects of Christmas and all the other distractions of life, but that God so loved the world that he gave himself for you. I hope this Christmas celebration will be one of your heart being full of God's love, that when all is said and done, if somebody says, did you get everything you wanted for Christmas? You say, maybe not everything, but I got the most important thing. I remembered that God loves me. Go in peace and go in love. Amen. Thank you, Ron.